This is my island in the sun, where my people have toiled since time begun. I may sail on many a sea, her shores will always be home to me. O island in the sun, built to me by my father's hand, all my days I will sing in praise of your forest waters, your shining sand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number three, the final hour with the illustrious Dane Wigington. I guess we're kind of getting to the core of what it means to be human at this point. We've discussed the historical context, the scumbaggery elements within humanity, even psychopathy that besets us. And I think we have encapsulated and defined that chemtrail geoengineering is the issue. Not just a issue, the issue of our time. And if it is not stopped, everything else will, you know. And this is the importance of it, and perhaps this is also why it is so offensive to many to be ridiculed and insulted as a result of speaking out publicly against chemtrails. There was a politician in New Zealand, Dane, named Colin Craig, who had spoken about chemtrails, not in the, I oppose chemtrails, I believe they're real, but more to the point says he just doesn't know. Because he was not in flat-out denial mode as a mainstream politician about chemtrail geoengineering, the mainstream media in New Zealand attacked him, demonized him, spent several minutes trying to force a denial out of him, basically. And it seems so disgusting to me that I cannot fathom it, much like a rational person cannot rationalize the irrational mind.
Yeah, I share that angst you feel about that. And I'm about to hit that with our Northern California media on Friday, whom I have absolutely drawn a line in the sand with. And I know they're going to be at this event. I'm not sure how much they'll try to spin my presentation, because there is a very rapidly growing tide of very strong support from every arena. And I think they're starting to consider that there will be huge economic backlash if they try to obscure the information on the battle on which everything depends. And more people are realizing that farmers, ranchers, every spectrum up here is realizing the gravity of this issue. So that media battle is, we're in the throes of that here, but I think it's very close to turning the other direction against absolutely tyrannical, spineless, toe-the-line-for-the-power structure sort of, I don't want to say use the words journalists, because they certainly don't deserve that term, but people who are truly the bottom of the barrel. And we're close to turning the tide here, truly. And it'll be interesting to see how this Friday plays out, because I know they'll be there at this event, as will members from every sector of the community. And I'll keep you posted on how that goes, because they've certainly spun the issue in the past. I've kept all those articles. In fact, they make every effort, for example, to never, ever use the word geoengineering, never use the term climate engineering, to only use the word chemtrails. And again, although I'm not phobic of that term, in certain contexts or certain situations, the science terms must be stressed. And so I've saved all their previous publications trying to roast me, and that will be part of my presentation to lay the groundwork so the people in that audience understand what we're up against and set their sights squarely on the media in our area, and to hold them accountable and responsible. Because really, that type of complacency, just like I mentioned earlier with the pilots, when you have media whose responsibility it is to get at the truth for the public good, doing anything but, and if you had pilots or any participants in these programs who actually knew what they were doing, there's accountability for that. Those sorts of people should be tried as accomplices. And so we'll see what happens. But I think we're closer to, there's so much underlying awareness, Vincent. If we could just keep our stride and not break pace at all, but to keep our kick until the dam breaks, because I think it's closer than we believe. The dam of awareness here is closer than we believe. And I've shared on a number of shows before, but I've met with a lot of academicians, some from major universities. I've met with NOAA scientists who told me, and I quote this directly, they told me, we know about these programs and we're alarmed as hell. We don't know what to do about it because we have no First Amendment protection. Those people are out there, lots of them. If we could just break the dam, it would absolutely implode from every corner.
Mm. Now,
the dam of silence, if you will.
Well, it's actually encouraging to see them attacking geoengineering activists and commentators like yourself. Let me define what I mean by that. Of course, I'm not saying it's great that they take the smack out of you. The more desperate they get, the more likely it is that we're actually close to a breakthrough. All right. So I hope that they ramp it up. I hope that they even start huge campaigns. All the better. All the better. It just gives us ammunition. Okay. It's kind of like throwing a grenade at us without removing the pin. Then we just pull out the pin and throw it back in their face. That's precisely what happens when they come to us with lies and scumbaggery. As we destroy them with the truth. And indeed, Dane, maybe a piece of wisdom that Professor Paul Connett of the Fluoride Action Network delivered in Auckland March last year, I believe. He said that if fluoride is ever removed from a water supply, all the councillors of those city councils that made said decision will be attacked, demonized, accusations will come flying from all directions. And then a number of months after he left New Zealand, Hamilton City Council, I think it was one of the largest cities in New Zealand, removed fluoride. And all of a sudden, all these articles start coming out, all of these mainstream media start coming out and demonizing them and attacking them. Exactly as he said. So perhaps, maybe Dane, you could preface your presentation by saying that is likely to happen, and in so doing, disarm it.
It is a part of my presentation. Yeah, I'm on the same page as you there. Right. You know, I have copies in the presentation of the previous articles from this main North State publication, exactly for that purpose. We're on the same page.
All right, I can teach you nothing.
Oh, yes, you can. You can. In this particular case, though, you know, you've probably decided early on in your life, more so than I have, it took me that people simply do not operate off the same set of moral standards that were ingrained in me, and it took me a long time to get that through my head. I've been thrown under the bus a lot because I couldn't comprehend how people could behave in the way they did, but I'm a little more aware of it now. And anyway, but the input's well taken, and in this case, we do have that base covered.
Mm, indeed. It's just kind of like you prepare for the hurricanes, you know, you prepare for the worst, you hope for the best. But in this case, you know that the worst is coming, so you're going to be well prepared.
Well, we are, and you know, if we go back to disseminations I did here years back, and actual editorials, which are part of what I'm putting in this PowerPoint that were published in this paper, that spoke of the methane release going back 7-8 years, things like that, that they should have covered from any perspective, they should have covered it, and I have published editorials that I wrote making clear that this methane situation was much more dire than people understood. Well, now we know. now we know. Anybody who wonders how dire the methane situation is should Google Arctic news. That's all. Just Google Arctic news. First site that comes up, you'll have more reading than you'll want to have, and you'll understand the direness of the situation. And the same with the term chemtrails, where no matter what I said, no matter how many science terms I used, SAG, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, SRM, solar radiation management, only science terms, they published exactly none of those terms and only used the terms chemtrail conspiracy again and again and again. So it's at the point now where the ridicule doesn't bother me at all. I mean, the opinions of fools mean nothing to me. It's simply the truth is the truth. And now the tides are turning here. And in fact, we've laid a lot of groundwork here in Northern California, because in 2008, I was able to get in front of the county supervisors here that we had a contamination issue, period. That's the tack I took. I was not trying to get them to acknowledge anything on the aerosol spraying programs, but simply the cut and dried, inarguable equation that we had a contamination issue in Northern California, period, end of story. There was a mountain of heavy metal falling on us, so much that it was changing soil pHs, contaminating waterways, and that was absolutely inarguable. And they have an absolute responsibility, at minimum, to disclose this to the public, which they did not do. So there is liability created here in this particular location, because this is all on the record. And some of these missteps or complete evasion of responsibility by county officials is now nearing a point where there may be accountability, and we're trying to move that direction, because there are certain directions one can take. Again, like with the contamination issue, that simply can't be argued. It's not like passing a provision that says please don't spray us, because they don't have the power to do that. But they do have certain mandates that they're required to fulfill, and one is to disclose to their citizens that there's a contamination issue, period, and they have not done that, and we have it on the record. So we're trying to move a direction to put a blip on the radar here, and I think we're getting closer. And in the meantime, there is a lot of wheels turning, Vincent. I mean, there's I think with congressional people, and I do know that for a fact, because I work with some and in steady contact with some, that there's wheels turning behind the scenes that I can't go into big details, but let's hope that they don't get completely stonewalled, because there is effort coming from within the system now as well. People who are personally concerned, not doing it because their constituents want them to, but because they're realizing that they, their families, their children will all go down with this ship, and that's starting to sink in.
Mm. I've seen that happen a lot here, but I don't know. Maybe I'm getting cynical in my old age of 29. Is that despite the fact that county and local bodies have a liability, they seem to weasel out of it because they have the ability to lie. You know?
They do, and they have. And again, it's not like here. The benefit of that here, the benefit of anything we could accomplish here, is simply to help put the issue on the radar on a much larger scale, that this contamination can be verified. And we had certain studies here that helped us to verify that it's not from some other source. Again, CARB, California Air Regional Board, Air Resources Board, have studied the aerosols from China. Heavy metals are not amongst those aerosols, so we know it's of local origin. There's no other plausible source but these aerosol operations. And, you know, our attempt right now is to get something on the radar, because those that are trying with longer-term goals of legislation and higher arenas, this is national security. The geoengineering programs are considered national security. You have, on the record, U.S. military leaders stating that climate change is the greatest national security threat of all. So clearly that's where geoengineering fits in for them, and nothing is going to force them to stop it except raising awareness to the point of visibility that can't be hidden. And thus, what we talked about earlier, families of military people know this is going on. And I have contact with a congressional candidate from back east whose brother, he absolutely believes, is a part of these programs. And it has caused literally internal civil war in their family, that he is publicly now speaking out against his own brother to shine the light on what his brother's participating in. And that's the level we need to bring this to, where it is so widely known that everybody begins to question anybody who in their family who could possibly be a part of these programs. And we can undermine this whole operation from the inside out. And that's simply what we must do. We must do. There's no other way to get at this animal. It has to be done from the inside out.
Well, see, I'm not in entire agreement with you there. I think it must be done in every single conceivable way possible. I liken it to the tactic of the cactus, covers itself in spines from every direction. So no matter where you attack it from above, from below, from the sides or whatever, you get a little prick to remind you.
But what if you infect that? What if you infect that cactus like a fungus from the inside, where it has no spines, and it rots from the inside out, and it completely falls over? I mean,
But how would you get the infection in there in the first place if it was covered in spines to prevent you from getting anywhere near it?
Well, if you have people on the inside already, and that's beyond the reach of the spines. I mean, I think. What we're getting at here, maybe it's a different terminology we're using, but I think we're thinking along the same lines. I mean, we certainly have left no stone unturned in trying to raise the alarm on this, but all the efforts of raising the alarm, again, is directed toward starting so many spot fires that they cannot be put out. In fact, that's one of our main efforts right now with some very dedicated and articulate activists that have stepped up to help. Something I've wanted to implement for a very long time, and now we are able to. I've done it on my own as much as time would permit, but now I have help. We locate people who would care if they knew, contacts, and even contacts that some of which may already know. For example, Weather Central is one weather organization that's not completely hijacked, and they have 70, 80 meteorologists, some of whom are pretty conscientious individuals. We mail tailored packages of information with an intro letter that's very polished to give them heads up that this is going on, that people are waking up to the fact that it's going on. We want to know why they're not talking about it. And it gives them data and puts them on the spot at the same time, puts them in the light. And it goes to all of them at once, so all of them know that the others know. And in starting these spot fires, and we've heard back from some of these people now, finally, we're getting letters back, and even from journalists like Dar Jamal. I don't know if you know who Dar Jamal is. He's a mainstream journalist that responded back immediately, that he's looking at this issue now, and finally, I think, getting to the point where he may talk about it. I know a New York Times reporter that has been editorially shut down again and again, that I think now is realizing the gravity of the situation. He may be getting close to speaking out. I think, Vincent, it can't be underestimated if the critical mass of awareness was reached with the population and people realized that their grandmother's Alzheimer's, their child's autism was likely connected to these programs. I don't think we have seen society so completely motivated to fight back as we would see if that was truly raised to a level of awareness. I think that's the point in time where society, in spite of all the dumbing down that's happened, they wake up, grab their pitchforks and torches, and look for who's responsible.
You're correct. However, I hope that it doesn't come to that. I wish... basically my philosophy is the system would be perfect if everything they told us about it was true. courts delivering justice, governments protecting rights, police arresting and the guilty, those kind of things. Environmental Protection Agency protecting the environment. Nothing that our society currently accepts to be true has any truth to it whatsoever. We need to create an opposite, more or less, by just making all of that BS true. Maybe it never was true, but I believe that the system can work if we force it to.
But how long would it work? In this sense, what we have built is a house of cards that can only fall, and that is modern society. It is completely has always been completely unsustainable, and we're about to find out just how unsustainable it was.
Agreed.
And so as society collapses, as civilization collapses, and it must collapse, there's rationally no other outcome short of some unforeseen element in this equation, that this is where we're headed. At this point, in spite of people's dumbing down, in spite of their being put in situations where they can feel they're isolated, comfortable, and don't have to worry about all this, this situation now is affecting so many people so horrifically, from farmers who can't grow because of no water to farmers who can't grow because they're buried in water. Florida, Friday, got, I don't know if you heard this, Florida got, we got nothing. Another storm went over California that they completely sprayed away. We got 5/100ths of an inch. You know how, it barely enough to wet the ground, right? At the same time, Florida got 2 feet of rain in one day, 24 inches of rain in one day. And this is what we have. So not only do we have the health effects, we have everything that people are trying to hang on to and deal with, it's all being so radically affected that once they know, once the critical mass knows, not only are they being poisoned, but that the weather's being completely manipulated, at that point, no matter what the weather is, if it's something other than what they think it should be, there's going to be angry people, lots of them, whether it's an ice storm, which is ice nucleated. We've seen so many. Did you see the big ice boulders in Lake Michigan? Did you see that?
No, but I remember you told me a while ago about it's snowing when the temperature was like, it's not possible. It couldn't freeze, you know, like there's not that right temperature. And then I heard it, I think it might have been only a day or two after, that there was a golf competition in Arizona, which is as hot as it gets, pretty much, and it was snowing in the middle of that golfing tournament so much that they had to turn it off.
there you go. And now this is on the ice nucleation. You know, I've been screaming about that for years, and it's finally starting to sink in. I mean, they are ice nucleating almost everything. This is how they help cool things off. It's an endothermic reaction. We know there's barium involved. We think barium hydroxide. Ammonium, probably, but ammonium is difficult to test for because once it's down, it tends to gas out. We're seeing ice, Vincent, on, for example, our ponds in Northern California. I have 16 ponds on my preserve. There was ice on the top of those ponds for 3 weeks with pond water at 40 degrees, air temperatures at night in the 40s, and daytime highs in the 60s. Ice remained for 3 weeks. It's such a powerful nucleator, it's virtually gassing the water out of the ponds because it continues to have a chemical reaction, if that makes sense. So in the case of barium hydroxide and ammonium, if you mix those elements together in a lab beaker, you can drop the temp about 100 degrees instantly. So we know they're nucleating the clouds. We know the barium's in the mix. We've tested and tested and tested again. And you can feel if you're outside, and I do this when a storm is coming over, you know, not that we get any rain, but it's almost like someone opened the door of a refrigerator and you feel this air descending down on you as they, and all you can hear is aircraft, one after another after another. And they're nucleating everything. We can see it on the radar because you can see bands of subtropical moisture just flash out to snow for no reason. And the Weather Channel, of course, as they are paid to do, try to explain this away, how this 45, 50 degree temperature stuff can come down. I just talked to George Barnes. You know the Skyder Alert film? You've seen the Skyder Alert film, Vincent?
I'm sorry, it's called Look Up.
Have you heard of the Skyder Alert website?
No.
We need to get that one out there. It's an interactive website that you can download, and you can locate wherever they're spraying, and it automatically sends out mails to, at least in the U.S., representatives. And I'm going to send you a press link for this film that includes the full length of the film. It's an award-winning film narrated by William Baldwin called Look Up. It's already won about a half a dozen awards. And the filmmaker, George Barnes, was in Florida at 72 degrees with snowflakes coming down. So people need to understand none of these weather events are natural, none. So back to the ice balls in Lake Michigan. How does that happen? And how do the weather people try to explain it away when it hasn't happened historically? It's happened for the last couple of years. Occasionally, it's happened two or three times before, but never historically. So you have, they radically ice nucleate all the precipitation coming down in that region, And that's how you get these massive temperature drops, because the ice nucleation doesn't just make it snow at above normal temps. If it's 20 degrees, it might drop the temps another 20 down to zero. It has that profound of an effect. So as you have this chemical nucleation hitting the lake, it tends to keep nucleating, and thus you form this sphere as it's rolling through the water, because that nucleation process continues to try to ball up on itself. And thus you get, you should Google this. The pictures would astound you, like 75 pounds.
It's literally a chemical snowball effect.
That's right. And if you Google it, you'll be absolutely astounded at what you see. These massive ice balls littering the lake. Also, it forms this nucleated snow where as the wind blows, you see in several locations, there's just been a mass of this strange-looking mix that gets pushed up onto people's properties. You know, it's very astounding. So they are, right now, this is what's happening in my opinion. They've so decimated the system, and there's other causes too. Again, I know a lot of people don't want to believe that humans have damaged the planet. That's simply not reality. We've damaged the planet from so many directions, it's hard to quantify. That being said, geoengineering, mathematically, would be the single greatest disrupting factor. Not the only factor by any means, again, the single greatest disrupting. So as they've ripped the climate apart, now they've triggered these feedback mechanisms, the ozone layer is imploding, the methane is absolutely spewing from the Arctic. So what's their response? As we discussed earlier, just do more, just spray more. And they're absolutely so desperate right now that they're playing every card they have. They're nucleating everything they can possibly nucleate. And thus you see temperature swings literally in a day, 50, 60 degree swings, not from high to low for the day, but from one day's high to the next day's high. We saw Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013 was 100 degrees for the day, broke the all-time record, snowed the next day. Can't have that kind of swing without a whole lot of geoengineering and a whole lot of jet stream manipulation. And they're manipulating the jet stream so radically right now, it is historically unprecedented. And yet the meteorologists at Weather Channel, Weather Underground, all purchased by Rothschilds, try to explain this away. But quite simply, we're at the point now that it's becoming so cataclysmic that I think we're near breaking points on so many fronts that I don't think they can hide it much longer. And I don't know if you saw I know in New Zealand you guys are cooler, but in Australia they're in meltdown. Tasmania's in meltdown. There's Brazil right now. Same thing. There's fires all over where there shouldn't be. And the more they spray, and this is what gets back to Northern California and part of what's waking people up here. I've beat this drum for 7-8 years. The more they spray, the less it will rain. That's a scientific, indisputable fact. That's what we have. Now we have no rain. Now it's starting to sink in. People are waking up. So although it's getting warmer, if the Earth was allowed to respond, Vincent, if it was not for these aerosols, it would be raining much more. The forests would be thriving and not dying. Yes, sea levels might be rising, but so many of the other symptoms we have would be, we don't know how much better it would be, likely exponentially better had they never begun these programs. We might find ourselves in a completely different reality. But as it sits right now, it's grim and getting grimmer by the day.
Yeah, this is true, and maybe some PR stunts in order to call attention to the issue would be well served. You know, I was thinking about eating a hell of a lot of prunes and just waltzing into the New Zealand Parliament to remind them of the horror that can be unleashed by even a minor methane release.
Well, that's true. And, you know, maybe that would be a reminder for them. And what we have now on the last observation we had from, and this is on red herrings too, by the way, on the methane. We've seen all sorts of to-do about livestock methane and so forth. All that is just absolute red herring. And so, again, we have blame trying to be laid in certain places where it doesn't belong, and blame with the roads that lead back to geoengineering. A huge aspect of the methane release in the Arctic, because they've so radically altered the upper level wind currents with geoengineering, now we have ocean currents doing what they should not do, what they historically have not done. We have currents delivering warm water from the Atlantic straight into the Arctic. That shouldn't happen, but it is. And now it's helping to thaw the methane. So once you hamper the system, you hamper the whole system. So the last report we had from the Arctic, and they seem to be scrubbing data now, a Russian research vessel was observing plumes of methane from the seafloor a kilometer wide and seeing thousands of those plumes. So, again, geoengineering is pounding the nails into our collective coffins, day in, day out. Has to be dealt with. And aside from the fact that it's affecting us all physically, cognitively, poisoning our ability to grow any food, there's no angle at which geoengineering isn't rapidly and totally diminishing our chance for even short-term survival.
I mean, you know, it is at that point where you need that those screaming people that are going, "Oh my God, we're all screwed, we're all gonna die." You know, that kind of mentality, I think, in some cases, is actually called for because it shocks people out of their cushy little reality that is gradually being taken away from them piece by piece as the information rolls in that everything you have ever lived your entire life to achieve no longer exists. Get over it. The situation is dire. The situation's so bad that we can never retire.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly the point I'm at. I mean, and you know, I've tried, as you know, and you you've rightly accused me of, you know, I've always delivered a pretty dire message, but because that's simply what the data dictates. But it's gone to apocalyptic now because that's simply where we're at. And there's no more time to even pull a punch at all with this. It's we have to sift the herd here, if you will, who's going to help and who's not, because we are indeed at the great turning point of what was compared to what will be. And I believe that this is where we find out what people are made of.
It is. And I'm looking now beside me at a stack, literally, I think, I've got about 8 very well-printed chemtrail banners that were donated to me that are stuck with duct tape that was donated to me on the backs of real estate signs that were donated to me, and I'm speaking to you on a Skype account that was paid for with donations, on a microphone that was donated, the computer itself was donated, and I'm thinking to myself, all of this has been given to me, and so hence the obligation is upon me to use all of these tools and gifts and things that I now possess because of other people, right? It is now my obligation to go out there and ensure that they get used to their full effect. I remember, I think it was about a month or so ago, Dane, that, somewhat more than a month, maybe 2 or 3 actually, where I was called to come and attend a chemtrail protest. And I was really exhausted. I was tired. I couldn't even fathom it. And I said to them, "Look, I really can't." And then I looked over at this pile of chemtrail banners that I've professionally made, and knowing that I'm the only one in the country that has that stack, I had to go out there. I just strapped up my boots, got myself fueled up on coffee, and just went out there and did it. Not because somebody was forcing me to, but because I'm the only one with the power to. And I think we all need to recognize that power within ourselves. We all need to recognize our inherent responsibility that is granted to us by that power. We need to appreciate those around us who have given up things so that we might live.
I respect you for that, my friend. I truly do. And that's why I felt compelled to drop what I was doing for the chance to converse with you today. It's time very well spent, and I'm very grateful that you made the time also. And I spend about 10 hours a day on this now, literally, and it's all I do. It's all I've done for about 10 years, and some have helped. And one particular anonymous person who has helped us try to keep our head above the waterline so we can keep this work up. Astoundingly, I've had calls from bankers from Manhattan and from Texas who were completely livid about the spraying. But when it came down to actually contributing anything to the cause, nothing, absolutely nothing, because they just don't want to let go of the paradigm that they've had. But they won't have a choice much longer. And that sense of responsibility that you felt that made you pull your boots on and go out there and do it, that's what I feel now. I can't look at my kids and not do this. I can't look at any child and not do this. It's not just about my children. It's about all children. And I think about what people have been through, Vincent. I think about certain things, that stories that I made myself read and remember. One story about a deaf, dumb, and blind African child who was dumped at a train station in Africa. Deaf, dumb, and blind. Can't see, can't speak, can't hear, doesn't know where he's at, doesn't know where his next bite of food's coming from, where he's going to sleep, where he's going to go to the bathroom. And I make myself remember that child somehow surviving under those conditions. And I think if that child can do that, then I can do this from dawn till dusk every single day. And so those sorts of stories, you know, there's others like them that I make myself remember. But this is where all of us find out what we're made of. I hope that people that you communicate with, that I communicate with, stand back and abandon everything they've been conditioned with and evaluate what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a part of a whole, and what it means to make your moment, your part in this play, matter. And I hope that we have a tidal wave of such people rise up, and no matter how dark the horizon is, again, we could take a quantum leap in the right direction, and who knows where the road might lead from there.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And as you're saying that, I'm reminded of migrating ducks and geese. And you ever had them fly over you? You know how they're always going at it like, wah, 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 wah. They never shut up, you know, when they're flying.
Are you seeing any this year? Do you see any this year?
I only saw one, I think, last week. But what the point is that the reason why they fly in a formation is because that formation lessens the resistance of the air. As it punches through, it makes it easier for every other duck. Now, the only duck in that formation that is actually getting the full brunt of the wind, the one that is actually more or less has to be stronger than all the others, is the one at the front. And the reason why all the other ducks keep quacking and quacking and quacking as they fly is to encourage the lead duck to not give up so that they can all keep moving in formation together. This is activism. This is activism. I mean, people like you and I, we are the ducks at the lead of that. And we need other people to quack in support so that we may keep leading.
We need them to fly with us as well. And this is where, you know, many people are now. I do see more and hear from more people who are not just willing to voice their opinion now and then, but are asking me, what can I do? What can I do? And they truly want to contribute, and we're trying to help them contribute in whatever way they can. But at the same time, we're trying to teach them how to shoot from behind rocks and trees, so to speak, as the colonists did here when there was not the apparatus to be completely organized. And by shooting from behind rocks and trees, their ability to get credible information, we're trying to make that information available to them, like with our flyer that seems to have done a tremendous amount of good. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's quite effective, and we have it on our site. They can download it for free. We're trying to express to people how you go about waking up others, you know, without, you don't go into a big emotional rant with no information to pass on. It doesn't work. Don't try. And we're trying to give them enough direction so that whether they're a part of some common effort we're doing or whether they're in a skirmish on the front on their own, they'll have the means to advance, to make progress. And you know, we're trying on every angle we can, and you know, we certainly need other people to join this effort that have skills. We need people that have computer skills that can help us do certain things on a larger scale, but those people are starting to come up, and I've just started participating in Facebook as well. And I put that off for a long time, and I'm glad I engage now because a lot of people are there that I didn't have access to before, and it's helping. But other people, again, like George Barnes, who I will send you this link for skyderalert.com. You can Google that, and you'll see, I think there's a trailer on that link, and I'll send you the full press link, Vincent. But George, very high in the food chain and the entertainment industry. He's a filmmaker, and realizing the gravity of this issue, and that's why he put together the film Look Up. I think it's a very good intro tool. Encourage people to get a copy of that film of George's and give a presentation on it. And we have a big presentation in L.A. That's another, I think he's won another award there, on February 7th at LAX Hilton. There's a film festival presentation there that I'll be attending. And it's getting higher and higher in the ladder, much faster now. But again, the walls are closing in much faster at the same time. So we're all in a race. But if we keep our stride right now, if we keep our pace up, we must, this battle must be won. So we have to keep our stride, period.
It is not a choice. It is a lack of options. And what I'd like to do is spend a few minutes, and because everybody says, oh, you can contribute and so on and so forth, but it's rarely specified as exactly how you can contribute. So here's a few things. For the audience members who perhaps want to help expose the scumbaggery of chemtrail engineering but are unable to do so or to think about it. First lesson, you don't need anybody's help to start protesting and doing something about chemtrail geoengineering. You need nobody's help, okay? Not to start. To continue, frack yes. I will admit that. Had I not been given the support that I have been, I would have done virtually nothing by comparison to what I have done. Secondly, that's if you have absolutely no compulsion. You haven't started doing anything yet. There are many, many things you can do. So first of all, you've got to be informed, or at least a little bit informed, enough to have at least a little bit of a conversation about it. In your daily life, you will encounter people all the time, and you can speak to them about chemtrail geoengineering whenever there is one above you. It is the perfect opportunity to point up in the sky and just waver some random strangers over and just go, hey, look at that. What is that? You know, it's a chemtrail. Have you guys ever heard of this? You know, that kind of thing. Conversations, very, very good, because as a former telemarketer, I understood that the person-to-person conversation contact was the most powerful form of getting people interested into it. Anybody can watch a documentary, and the documentaries are absolutely good, and that's another way that you can help people into. You can give out DVDs. You can print flyers. Many, many, many websites currently on the World Wide Web have templates for all of these sorts of things. So if you have minor resources, such a few dollars for printing costs and what have you, you can carry around a wee stack of these and just hand them out to people in your street. You can make a sign out of cardboard and a felt tip pen and just stand on the corner yelling about it. Just don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Hijack the mainstream media. Did you know, or at least this is the case in New Zealand, that if you call up a mainstream talk radio station and you mention the name of a politician, that politician will be sent a transcript about it. You can call up, mention a name of a, I don't know, I suppose in New Zealand the environment minister would be Nick Smith, who was famously exposed in, I think it was What in the World Are They Spraying, saying that, oh, these contrails are just jet engines, okay? And you can mention his name, talk about chemtrails. Even if that mainstream media talk show host hangs up on you in minutes, he'll still get a transcript. What if not just you, but another person? Maybe even get two or three mates or something like that with your cell phones and call them up while you're sitting in a room, egging each other on to do it, okay? There is a will and there is a way, and you can contribute. Now, that's just doing things personally without including really anybody else in the process. It's about waking people up, about enforcing that will to expose chemtrail geoengineering on all of those people around you. Once you've advanced from that, once you realize that you have personal power, that you don't actually need somebody's help, then you can start advancing into the areas where you can work with people. And you will realize that you're so much stronger together because you didn't need them in the first place. And that so everything that you do with other people becomes an improvement on everything that you could do by yourself. And it encourages you to do even more and more and more. It's an exponential scale of scumbaggery exposing potential. All right. Dana, have I missed anything?
I don't think you have. And again, if people initially, as you said, they can do something right now, and one of those steps is just to simply learn enough. Nobody has to try to spend 10 or 12 years on it like some of us, but learn enough to have a grasp of just how dire the situation is and just how critical this one particular battle is, so that you understand that spending the time to do everything you just described is meaningful. It matters. And for every single person you help wake up, every single person whose field of vision you help expand and understand the situation is taking one more step in the right direction for life on Earth, for humanity. And it's imperative that we all engage in this effort. And this is the issue. This is the issue of our time that must be dealt with. Again, even connected to nuclear catastrophe, which we're facing now as well, we cannot possibly think our way out of that situation unless we're firing on all neurons, and we're not going to be firing on all neurons for much longer if we continue to be exposed to geoengineering. So it's not only tearing the planet's life support systems apart, it's daily further inhibiting our ability to function and think clearly. So this is the battle. This is the battle. This is why some of us have focused all on this battle, because it rationally is the most important battle. So again, would not have a voice without people like you, Vincent. I'm very, very grateful that you're out there, and we'll continue to try to interact in any way we can. But everything you described are steps people should take, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if you don't have the time, or let's say the social grace to go out and be at the forefront and things of that nature. I mean, a lot of people just don't have the personality. Me, I'm a very, very arrogant, self-centered person to a degree, and so naturally I'll become a radio show host, except I use my negative attributes to get in the mind of my enemy and to do the direct opposite of everything that my instincts tell me to do, because I know that my instincts are wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? I think there's a saying in the Marines is we trim the fat off of our soul, and I forget the rest of the quote. It was quite brilliant. But anyway, I think it's like you got to challenge yourself, and you'll find out, sure enough, so long as you actually do step out that freaking door, so long as you do open your mouth, so long as you do print that flyer, pick up that telephone in service to humanity, you will find that you are capable of things that you never even dreamed possible, that your strength will grow, it will not wane, and your compulsion to help even more people will be emboldened by the power that you find within yourself as a result of even just trying in the first place. As Yoda said, try not, do or do not. There is no try.
I like that. And that's certainly, in this equation, is that's the method in which we must think. And also people should remember this, that 10 years ago, this was a much more difficult battle, because, I mean, I had nobody listening to me. I was literally screaming at the moon. But now, events are so advanced, the disruption of the weather patterns, the knowledge of this, it's now becoming easier by the day. And for those that are fearful of any ridicule or any lack of acceptance or rejection, the seeds they plant will very soon find fertile ground, as things continue to unravel as this issue becomes impossible to keep hidden. The lump won't fit under the rug. People should take strength in that, that whatever ridicule they get, whatever rejection they get will be short-lived as those around them are forced to wake up. They will not have a choice for much longer. The walls are closing in by the day. So the time of action, the time for action is now. We don't have tomorrow, but those people that are out there that don't know about this issue, and there's still plenty that have never even heard of it, we have to reach them. We have to reach them soon so we can start as many spot fires as possible and that all merge together in a giant blaze that can't be put out so that we bring this to the light of day. We're closer to that than most realize.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I was talking with Paul Mack last week about this, Dane, and he was telling me about when they're doing their chemtrail geoengineering protest that there's so many people who will come up to you and encourage you and go, yeah, man, I know that this is going on. I just didn't know about the protest and what have you and whatnot. Now, some people at the protest were like, oh, well, you should be more onto it. You should be better informed. You should be out of this protest with us, you know. And they're like, well, I've got other things to do. But I don't think those people who are criticizing those who came up and gave you encouragement realized that without those people who were unaware of the protest, without those people who just turned up out of the blue to give you a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of spurring on, they're actually one of the most essential parts of that protest. Imagine if they weren't there. Imagine if the only interaction you got with from the public was people giving you crap about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was. That's the way it was when I started this slog. But it's certainly turning rapidly now. I mean, most people have heard about this issue. And again, we could wake up tomorrow, Vincent, and find out that the dam has broken. I mean, there's enough movement out there, enough wheels turning, that it's anybody's guess when the curtain is pulled back.
Ironically, the worse it gets, the easier it gets.
Yes, that's my point. But one thing to remember also, is as that happens and as this is exposed, it will change the dynamics radically. And then we have the wounded tiger syndrome for the power structure as they're backed further and further into a corner and more people realize what's happening and who's behind it. God knows what card they'll play then. But that's just simply something we have to face. So the sooner we make this first step of getting this issue out in the open, the closer we'll be to stopping it. So that's goal number one.
And then what's goal number two? Because again, I mean, we've got to wrap up here in just a minute or two or three. What is the solution? As people always tell me, you know, you never talk about the solutions. And I think that once public awareness has been achieved, then solutions can actually be implemented. But of course, there must be reparation. Is there any kind of schemes or plans or things in your head that, with public awareness and with the right funding and programs and what have you, could we indeed not only have stopped geoengineering but also begin to repair the planet?
Industrial society will not continue much longer, one way or the other. There's no getting around that. So if we could, again, as a first order of business, expose geoengineering, it would completely, in and of itself, change the dynamics of our paradigm. After collapse, or as we move into collapse of what was industrial civilization, the only form of engineering that could have any impact in a sustainable, correct direction would be to completely halt the current mechanism of destruction that is industrial civilization and begin to try to regress toward what was. And that would involve, for example, planting trees on an absolutely massive scale. I mean, that is nature's mechanism of recovering equilibrium. If the rain, the hydrological cycle would radically increase, Vincent, if it were not for geoengineering. And to give you an idea how radically, right now it's likely that overall global precipitation is probably down 50%. And we have examples of this in 1992 when Mount Pinatubo blew, not so significant one-time eruption, it decreased precipitation globally to an astounding level. 92 was by 50% the lowest rainfall year ever recorded to that date. So the atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree of Fahrenheit warming, and it is globally overall much warmer. It should be raining horrifically, and if you took away the impacts of geoengineering, there would be much more convection, much more rain. Carbon-laden rain would stimulate the forest. The planet could start to gain equilibrium again. So the whole paradigm has to change. It has to change. There is no other option. There is no other chance. So if we could bring this to light, bring it to a halt, and the gravity of our situation was realized by a critical mass of society, this is the point where we might then begin to implement a complete paradigm change, a complete different manner of life and living. It is the only possible chance we have. People need to accept that. They can accept it well or accept it poorly, but accept it they will, one way or the other. It's going to happen. The collapse is going to happen. So the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we start to prepare for that, the sooner we start to implement what we can utilize to start heading in the right direction instead of the wrong one we've been on, the more chance we have. So, you know, it's one step at a time. We can't leap to the top of the mountain. But, again, our initial steps right now, priority one, is to expose geoengineering, which will lead to stopping geoengineering, which will lead to then evaluation of our other options.
I think so. It's kind of like I don't know, if you want to get on the road to better health, remove the cancer, you know, and then you've got some more work to do after that. But just remove the cancer first. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
Good analogy.
Yeah. Incidentally, did you know that cancer could conceivably survive forever so long as it didn't kill the host?
In this case, it is killing those. Yeah. It is very rapidly. So the cancer must be removed. And I'm with you on that one. And, again, this is something that takes all of us. It's going to take all of us in this effort. And that point, we need to drive home as well. There's no room for anybody to sit the bench on this.
Yeah, exactly. What was the phrase? Nut up or shut up?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
The great Dane Wigington, who might be responsible for a large quantity of working out amidst the audience on this particular broadcast. It is my honor and my pleasure and various other nice adjectives to have had you for a full 3 hours. Have you done a three-hour interview before?
I haven't with you. I've done 3 hours with George Norrie on Coast to Coast. But I'm typically 2 or 1 hour shows. But you know what? Nobody else I'd rather do 3 hours with on a show, Vincent. It's an honor from my standpoint as well. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, and I would like you to round us off. We've only got about a minute or so left to plug some websites, both of yourself and your colleagues. And then I have a short clip, a John F. Kennedy quote to play us, where he actually does talk about modifying the sky and the rain. So if you would proceed to give yourself and your colleagues a little bit of a plug.
We try at geoengineeringwatch.org, we try to post the most current assessments of what's going on. No ads, just science, and we hope that's a good resource for people to look to. Also, skideralert.com. Seems a lot of people have not heard of this site yet, an interactive website that facilitates direct action people can take. The Look Up documentary. Encourage people to get a copy of that DVD for filmmaker George Barnes. There's a lot of good interviews there. It's narrated by William Baldwin, so that celebrity notoriety helps gain credibility with people. Do viewings, invite people over, introduce them to the subject, have credible data to pass on to them. Again, as Vincent correctly stated earlier, there's a lot of things people can do right now from whatever position they're in, and we need to all start doing it immediately. So that would be the end of my rant, Vincent, and again, thank you for all your tireless efforts, my friend. It's an honor to know you. I appreciate it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John F. Kennedy. Listen to this, Dane.
The pioneers gave up their safety, their comfort, and sometimes their lives to build our new West. They were determined to make the new world strong and free an example to the world. Some would say that those struggles are all over, that all the horizons have been explored, that all the battles have been won, that there is no longer an American frontier. And we stand today on the edge of a new frontier, the frontier of unknown opportunities and perils. Beyond that frontier are uncharted areas of science and space, unsolved problems of peace and war, unconquered province of ignorance and prejudice. I'm asking each of you to be pioneers towards that new frontier. My call is to the young in heart, regardless of age. Can we carry through in an age where we will witness not only new breakthroughs in weapons of destruction, but also a race for mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far side of space, and the inside of men's minds? All mankind waits upon our decision. A whole world looks to see what we shall do. And we cannot fail that trust, and we cannot fail to try.
Real powerful stuff, huh?
It is. It is. That's the last leader who tried to, in the presidency, who actually had the fiber to try to stand up. We see how long he lasted, but now it's up to all of us to stand up together in unison.
Let's march towards that frontier, people. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, my very special guest, Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org, and we'll see you again sometime.
The only exception, you are the only exception, you